Today is our final lesson in the series, What Every Spiritual Family Needs. We said in this lesson, what every spiritual family needs is open hearts. We have, in the last several weeks, considered the subject of love. How many types of love did we say are in the Bible, at least? How many different types of love are in the Bible?
Four.
Can anybody remember what those four types of love are?
No one, agape.
This one, agape love, that one's for free. What are the other three? What did we say the other three are?
Storge love,
yeah. And what type of love is that?
That's brother.
Let's have a look. So we said there is philia, or brotherly love, and friendship. Romans 12:10, that's between fellow believers and friends. Philadelphia, it's the city of Philadelphia. That name comes from the Greek word philia, which means the city of brotherly love. Eros is romantic love. We see that in the Song of Solomon, the book of Song of Solomon, and that's the love between a husband and wife. We get the English word erotic from that. And then there's storge love, family affectionate love between family members. But the love that we are talking about today, and that we see most often in the New Testament, is agape love, unconditional. It's a word. We use this word sometimes so free, unconditional, sacrificial love exemplified by Christ, John 15:13. That's the love that God showed to man and humanity. And that is the love that we are commanded to show towards one another. And it is, we said, it's the most demanding type of love. The majority of the times when you see that word love in the New Testament, it is the word agape. And we said there are five ways that agape love demonstrates itself. What are those five things? Five ways that agape love, unconditional love, is demonstrated. What are those five things? No matter how much it costs. It's a love that volunteers. I like that. What else? That's two. Doesn't parade itself. No matter how much it costs me. Yeah?
Either the person deserves or not.
No matter whether the other person deserves it or not. And what's the fifth one? No matter how many times I have to repeat the act. Yeah? So agape love, it volunteers. If no one else does it, I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? That man was beaten and left on the side of the road. The priest came by, the religious man came by, and who stopped and ran it in? A Gentile, that right? Came by, saw the man, took him, cleaned his wounds, put him on his donkey, took him to a hotel, an inn. He said, whatever is good, when I come back, I'll pay you there. Yeah? We don't know why that man was beaten and robbed. Somebody could have been waiting around the corner to beat him up there. Yeah? It also, if we say it, no matter if the other person deserves it or not.
The example just gave right now about the Samaritan woman that tell the Gentile thing. Far back in my country, this is not possible. Because if you see someone on the road and you probably injured or wounded, you're going to take them to the hospital.
Yeah.
They may end up putting the blame on you or probably saying you're the wrong. Even if especially if the person is got dead, maybe has died. For the rest of the years, they will be looked at it's you that have done the problem. Most time, you can take someone to the hospital, they ask you to bring a police report. They tell you a lot of things about it. So, most time, my country, except they know the person, they always want to ignore whoever has such an accident or being injured on the road. because of a hospital issue, police report, and other things. And we hope we pray that the person not die. If he died, no one to no witness, no evidence. They said you are not a key person and nothing can do. So people now to withdraw such a kind of very crisis time to that area.
Okay. So how does that inform our Christianity? What does that say to the Christian living in Nigeria? Do you get involved?
We should be involved. We should be involved.
Sure.
We should be involved.
Sure. But do you?
Most time we avoid that.
So that means that we're not showing agape love. Is that right?
No, they might be understand that it can help, but you won't be similarly taking place in the hospital.
So, yeah, I understand that. Now, what if that was your loved one on the side of the road? What would you expect for someone to do? So you can't blame me. Brother Smith was driving to church, and your loved one was on the side of the road. I'm living in Nigeria, and I said, I don't want them to accuse me, so I'm Brother Lucky. I saw your loved one. What are you going to do to me? I saw just 2 minutes ago, I just left them. They were right around the corner. What you gonna think of me? Then who is this assignment to the Christians? Yeah, so when the rubber meets the road, I would expect, God will expect for somebody to get involved. If not you, who? If not now, when? If not, why not? Because then when we stand before God, remember that scripture in Matthew, when they say, when did we see you sick? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you in prison? And he said, what? If you've done this to the least among us, you've done it unto who? To me. Yeah?
And when it comes about obedience, you need to obey God first rather than.
I love that. Okay.
So the president can make a law. Peter was preaching and he said, no, you can't.
No preacher.
No preacher. You can't preach the name of Jesus Christ. He said, no. I have to listen to. So, upon the consequences which will come later about disobeying the government law, Peter stand up and preach, and sending him in prison and all these things. That cannot be an excuse. You can't use that as an excuse so that to avoid helping other people. Although we need to obey the law of the land as God commanded us to do. But when it comes about choosing, God always
first. Yeah. And this is a real world example.
Some uses are the trap.
Yes, of course.
Some uses are the trap.
Yes,
in my country.
Yes.
But like, why you not give
them
I'm
not even injured. Yeah. Right. You see that? So that's real. This is real. This is real stuff. So no matter if the other person deserves it or not, number three, no matter how many times I have to repeat the act. Number four, no matter if the other person asks or not. And number five, no matter how much it costs me. It's not a sacrifice unless it hurts. It's not a sacrifice until it hurts. Yeah? Because it's the inconvenience, it's the false accusations, because when we sum all this up, this is what Jesus did for us. Huh? Did they wrongly accuse Jesus?
Yeah.
Did they take him before the judge unfairly?
Yeah.
Did they take him from place to place and people made more for? Did they beat him?
Yeah.
Did they spit on him? Did they abuse him? Did they mock him? Huh? It's not pretty. Now, because you're interested, let's look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Now, we don't have time today, but the book of Romans chapters 13, 14, and 15 have to do with all responsibility as Christians. The first one talks about our responsibility to the Lord of the land. Talks about our responsibilities to one another, fraternal matters. Romans chapter 13 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Yeah, that means we have to obey the laws of the land. For there is no authority except from whom? Except from God. The good governments, the bad governments, the good politicians, the corrupt politicians, this verse says they all came from who?
God.
Came from God. Why? And so Paul is going to explain this because Rome, the city of Rome, was run by who? By the Romans. Huh? The Romans were ruthless people. They killed people, crucified people, mocked people. Yeah? So he says, and the authorities that exist are appointed by who? What does it say? By God. You look at Israel's history, they had good kings, they had bad kings. England has had good kings and bad kings, good queens and bad everywhere you go. Every country. Therefore, and what is therefore, therefore, as a result of what came before, he says, whoever resists the authority, resists what?
God.
Huh? You say, well, I'm fighting against the system, I'm fighting against the man, we're going to protest. Really? You ever see Jesus organize a protest? No. And those who resist will bring judgment on who?
Themselves.
On themselves. I don't like it, you don't have to like it. I don't understand, you don't have to understand it. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he, the judge, the magistrate, the police officer, the politician, the lawyer, whoever, for he is God's minister to you, for what? For good. But if you do evil, why do the police exist? Why do you think there are police in every country? What's their job? What's their role? Their job is to protect you from other people. And what's the other thing? Other people from you. All those lines in the road. When you're driving on the road, you know what those lines are for? Those lines are not suggestions. Those lines are to keep you in your lane and other people out of your lane. And so when you go against the rules, then you fall. If you do evil, now you have to stand before God's man. Yeah, so he says, the book says, for he is God's minister, verse 4, to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is, once again, God's minister or God's servant, an avenger to execute wrath on him who does what? Who practices evil. Therefore, here it is again, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, not because you're afraid of the consequences, but also for what? For conscience sake. Because it's the right thing to do. The sign says 50 kilometers an hour, 75 miles an hour. That's not a suggestion. That's the law. And so if you exceed that limit and you get caught, don't get upset. Don't start making excuses and say, I can explain, it's too late. It's too late. Yeah? Because that law is not there for just you, it's for everyone. And it says, for conscience sake, when you come to church, you know what you come to church for? To get a good conscience. Huh? Be transformed by the renewing of your, Romans 12, 1 and 2, renewing of your mind. 4, verse 6, because of this, you also pay taxes. Whatever they say it's 10%, 20%, gonna try to cut corners. For they are God's ministers, here it is a third time. attending continually to this very industrial job to collect taxes, to regulate behavior, to enforce the law. And look at verse 7. Render therefore to all their due, taxes, to whom taxes are due, customs, to whom customs, fair to whom fair, honor to whom honor. If they say, if the law says, when the national anthem is played, you must stand up. I don't like that, just not my king, my queen. That the law says, don't go to a public stadium, don't go into some civic duty if you don't want to obey the laws. Don't go there. Yeah? So, you don't have to like the person, you don't have to like the position, but you must respect the law. That's to the Christian. Yeah?
Yeah, you were saying something about protesting.
Yes.
What is wrong in it?
What's wrong in protesting?
Yeah, in protest, when things are not in good shape and they're fighting for the masses, for the poor ones, for the people that have no right to talk, it's the only language they understand, those are the politics. That's the only language they understand.
Okay.
That only way you can tell them that the masses are feeling your pains. And for them to adjust or change, even though they might not. But I think they stand over there for the purpose of the masses and to make the country a better place.
Okay. This past Friday, over there in the city of Leicester, they were protesting the asylum seekers. Folk were out there with picket signs, Union Jacks carrying on, beating pots and pans carrying on. Get them out of here, we're wrong here, whatever, whatever. You know the best way to protest, Brother Lucky, is to vote.
Well, your vote counts.
Your vote always counts. That's not what this Bible said. They said that he is God's minister. You put him in there. How do you get them out? Because see, the problem is this. Every country has rights. Citizens have rights, don't they? Now, it may not be what you think. They may not be as powerful. But if politicians understood that you have more power than they, see, they do things because they already know that there will protest today, it'll just and they'll just go right back to the normal behavior. But if they knew that you go to me and you go to mom and say, listen, you go and visit them, I'm gonna get all my neighbors and cousins and we're gonna get organized and we're gonna go to you. Then they will learn how to respect and you pray. Prayer is the best protest. Huh? Because God is the one. Man appoints, but God disappoints. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'll take him to be the chief and do whatever, okay, it's unforeseen. Yeah? And so, you don't have to, when Jesus, look at Philippians 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. When Jesus was reviled, then he reviled in return. Because, see, you go down there protesting the foot. And what about the ones that are beating folks and acting cool? They're gonna lump you in with all those people. Huh? Pray. Lord, help us. Sometimes it will take just one person. One person can make a difference. If I make it in my mind, for example, I'm on my job, and they say, you have 30 minutes for lunch, 60 minutes for lunch, whatever. And then I'm checking my clock, and my 30 minutes is up, and I'm the only one getting up to go back to my to check back in. And the majority are sitting there, and they say, well, where are you going? I said, well, I'm my 30 minutes up. I don't worry about that. Huh? Peer pressure. And so we have the opportunity. How do we make a difference? I'm going to make up in my mind to trust God instead of me. I'm going to make up my mind to put my confidence in God and not in the flesh. I'm going to do what the law says, as long as it doesn't go against what this book says. But this is where, again, the challenge that each of us face. Every day we have a decision to do. Am I going to do what the majority say? Because Jesus says, straight is the gate, and what? Narrow is the way that leads to life. And how many will find their way there? Few, the last time I checked, is more than two. The majority are going to hell because they choose to, but the few. You've got to be dedicated, you've got to be disciplined. You've got to be disciplined. And even in this assignment, Jesus himself, he went to that cross with one purpose in mind, our salvation. What is my purpose? The government in your country and my country, they're not going to be there forever. And they will all stand before the ultimate judge one day, and you will stand there too. And he, you know what the Lord's going to ask? What did you do? No matter what the majority did, what did you do in that situation? We will all have to give an account. Every last one of us will have to give an account on judgment day. So let's keep reading in Romans chapter 13. In verse 6, well, because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fair to whom fair, honor to whom honor. Someone read verse 8. This is where I was getting to. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says what?
Owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he is another, and he is
owe no man anything except love. What? He said all of this and then comes down and seems kind of counterintuitive. It doesn't fit. Owe no one anything except love. Why love? Why love? Because this is the highest standard. What's the greatest command? What is the greatest command? You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart,
soul, mind,
and all your mind. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, Paul began, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And he said, now abide these three things, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is what?
Love.
Why love? Why love?
Because heaven, you don't need faith.
You won't need faith in heaven, because faith believes in what it doesn't see. You'll see the Lord face to face. You won't need hope, because hope is the anchor, according to Hebrews, that pierces the veil. You, when a ship is in a storm, and the ship's captain says, drop the anchor. And that anchor plunges deep into the sea. How do you know the anchor's doing its job? Can you see the anchor? But how do you know the anchor's doing its job? The ship's not moving. The ship is not moving. You won't need hope, because hope will be a reality. Faith will be done away with. Hope will be done away with. But the Bible says that God is love. Yep. Owe no man anything except love. This is a lot of work. This is a lot of work. It's easy to love people who love you. Who love you back then, right? But what about the folk that don't love you back? The unlovable, the folk that treat you wrong, the folk that just won't do right. You have to love them unconditionally if you're a Christian. How can I say I'm a Christian? How can I say I'm a Christian? First John, look like you're interested. First John. person looking for. It says, how can I love God whom I have not seen? Verse 8. And hate my brother. I have it here. Let's look at some verses in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Then he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father called children of God, therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. And then in verse 10, 1 John 3:10 says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. What does the word manifest mean? Manifest. Revealed. You heard of ships manifest? In ancient times, when a ship, a cargo ship came to port, it would have a book of all the things that were on board, the manifest, and it would lay it all on the table for inspection. And so it was public, to be publicly examined. It is revealed, yeah? And so how do we know whether or not we are children of God or children of the devil? It shall be revealed. Yeah? So he says in verse number 10, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. If you don't love your brother, you are not a child of God. For this is the message which we heard from the beginning, that we should do what? That we should agape one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Why did Cain kill his brother? Why did Cain kill his brother? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Envy. Where does envy begin? It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Huh? Do not marvel, brethren. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Verse 13. We knew that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides where? In death. That's condemnation. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You say, well, I've not killed anybody. You might not have killed anybody physically, but you thought about it. I can't stand him. I can't stand her. Where does murder begin? You have heard it say, thou shalt not murder. But you have murdered a lot of folk in your mind. Somebody get on your last nerve. You thought about it. I could go upside down. Now here it is. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 17. 1 John 4:17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Therefore, do not fear in love, but perfect love does what? Casts out fear. What can man do to you? You can threaten, you can take all my goods, you can put me in prison, you can beat me, you can kill me. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But none of us want to die. Huh? What has to die first? Self has to die first. I have been crucified with Christ at the baptistry. Nevertheless, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in who? The Son of God, who agape me and gave himself for me. See, all of these verses mean something. And so, he says this now. There is no love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love, why? Verse number 19, because he first agape us. Look at, someone read verse 20 and 21.
If someone says, I love God, mm-hmm. and hate his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has seen not? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also.
Must. Not sure. It's not a suggestion. If someone says, I love God, oh, how I love Jesus. God is my everything. I've got it tattooed on my arm. I've got the Jesus cross on my chain. I've got gold teeth and I love Jesus. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is what? You are walking contradiction. He is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Every person in your life, God put in there for a reason. I know you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. Every person in your life, God put them in your life for a reason. What for? To agape them. I told this story many years ago. I had just bought a brand new car, maybe a few years, and I was working overnight shift and drove home, and there was no parking space where I normally park. And so I parked the car out in the road. It's a private road, as close to the wall as I could. Went home and went to sleep. Got up the next morning or the next day, and there was a scratch from the back of the car all the way to the front. Who did that? The neighbor, Mrs. Sturdy. Went next door, knocked on this door, got up. Good morning, Mrs. Sturdy. My neighbor. I think you might have scratched my car up when you were bringing your truck home last night. He said, oh, you young people, you have no business parking there and blah, blah, blah. I said, but it's a, you know, it's only us sitting here, and I think, I'm sure you did it by mistake. He wasn't happy. What did I do? What would you do? Can't call the police because it's a private room. What did I do? Let it go. God bless you, Mrs. Sterling. I took that car home in the shop. I was there for about a week to get all that body work done and had that little sonic car respray. You know why I did that? Number one, I'm a Christian, and number two, I can't take that car to heaven with me. Let it go. You don't hold on to stuff like that. That's replaceable. That agape. D Did he deserve it? Did he ask me to forgive him? Did it cost me? It cost me a lot of money. It cost me shit. Well, that's life. That's life. Now, turn that thing around. Turn it around. I have grown up many times, more than once. And I went to him and asked him for forgiveness. Did he forgive me? Did I deserve it? Did it cost him something? Then, see, our problem is as Christians, we have amnesia. We have amnesia when somebody wrongs us, so we can remember the day, time, what they had on, what happened, who was there. We can remember it all of any wrong folk. But me? You sure it was me? Really? You sure? So, here it is. 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 The heart of the matter is what? The matter of the heart. I went to graduated from Sunset in 2005. Went and did an internship in Baltimore, Maryland for a year. And the preacher, God rest his soul, Brother Richard, friend, he said, you know, every once in a while, as Christians, we need to have a heart check. Just checking. Because sometimes we drift off of our purpose. We get so caught up in life sometimes and we forget. What is my purpose? I need to come on back and do a heart check. Because life can beat us up and we can get so jaded by our experiences. And so Acts chapter 2, remember the book of on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that sermon, it says they were pricked to the what did they? The word of God. Peter educated those folk. And when they found out, they realized we killed Jesus. They were pricked to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What were they saying? How can we fix this? You ever get to that point sometimes? Damn. What happened? John 14 and 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Why did Jesus say that? Because he knew that there's something in us. We get all worked up. We get all twisted. We get all bent out of shape sometimes. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's something better beyond this. Put everything into perspective. Whatever you're going through right now, I can guarantee it's not going to last forever. Did you know that? It's not going to last forever. Yeah. Let not your heart be troubled. Philippians 2, you read that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Whenever there's a crisis, this is true, and I've seen it. Whenever a crisis arises, that's when the real you shows up. Did you know that? You can train a person to say you want to become a firefighter, a police officer, whatever, emergency worker, and you go to all that training, and then here comes the real thing. Fire alarms going. You know, it's an emergency, and people crumble. Some people crumble. Or some people rise to the challenge and say, okay, I'm not going to panic. I'm going to get this stuff. You do this, you do that, blah, 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 blah. But we have an opportunity every day to test our hearts, to Yeah. You remember that song? Is thy heart right with God? Has thine affection been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Or is it, are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made who? What's the next one? Humble. Humble and lowly. Right in the sight of who? See, it's not me. But Paul again says, owe no man anything. See, if I pay my taxes and I follow the rules, the only debt I owe to you is love. And so those folk that cut me off in traffic, slammed an elevator door in my face, talked back to me on my job, I'm calling people on the phone, and it's not always pleasant. And what do I say? I hear some of them, some of my coworkers are shouting at folk, the person raised their voice, What's my job? To be Christ-like. I say, Gary, you're just so calm. I said, why? Because I'm never going to meet these people in real life. You're never going to meet these people. So why are you getting all worked up? Yes. What's that?
1
Corinthians chapter 2. And then it's right up. 1 Corinthians 2, yes, and which verse?
Verse 11.
Okay. Verse 11.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what matter with the things of the man? Say the spirit of the man?
Yes.
In him?
Yes.
Even so, the things of God will be man.
Yes. Yes.
How, in this verse we just read, how can we attain a perfect love from the certain love? Let me give you a scenario. In my country, we have time to nurture all these animals around us, like here we don't have the privilege. If you see a hen that you want to put on fire, you buy a maize and throw on him. The maize be happy, the hen be happy that my owner loves me so much. And be picking the corn, the maize, alongside of joy and happiness that my body showing me love.
Yeah.
But in my mind, that showing the love to him, I'm not showing her love for that loving sake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing the hen the love in the return.
Yeah, for to
that I want to catch him and put on fire.
Yes, yes.
I want to relate them together. How do we ascertain agape love than second love? Sometimes those that love us, we say they are our enemy.
Yeah.
Those that hate us, we say they are the one that loves us.
Yeah.
But after some years, 5, 10 years, or thereabouts, you now realize that this person is the one that should be true love. And we have heard the other person on that way around.
Yeah.
You see, when, in a class like this, I want it to be more practical.
Yes.
So how do we ascertain agape love in a deceptive love, whereby there's a return, not by the return, I'm doing good all the time. You're like, oh, but I'm looking pretty good.
Yes.
But in the back of my mind, I have a target.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just talking.
So the word agape means unconditional. It means no matter what the condition. So what you're trying to do in that scenario is you're trying to determine what the motive is. So I don't know what's in your heart, is what you're saying. You don't know what's in my heart. But the assignment is unconditional, no matter what the motive is, even if it's to harm me, I still have a responsibility to love you. You see? So that takes all of that off of the table. Because that's a lot of energy you're trying to figure out why the person's doing what they're doing. Listen. One of the things, and here's something I've learned in my Christianity. Your greatest struggle, whatever area that you're struggling with the most, if you embrace it positively, can become your greatest area of growth. For me, I was never a real outgoing person. I wasn't the person that's going to walk up to the book and engage in a conversation. Now, here I go and take on the role as a minister. I've got to come outside my comfort zone because I believe that I can, the scripture says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've got to summon the will and courage to push beyond myself and to embrace other people. You see? And so, for you and for each of us, it doesn't matter why someone did something. You still have the same responsibility to love people. And so, in that, you become more Christ-like. Because God loved us. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. Christ died. So he didn't wait for us to come up to where we should be. He did it because it was the right thing to do. You see that? What was the motive? Love. So the motive in everything we do, regardless of what people's agendas are, must be love. Agape love. Because in that thing, you're going to get the retaliation.
As Brother George and we were talking about earlier, people will, even in your good intentions, sometimes people will lash out at you.
But it don't matter. I still gotta love it. Praise God. I'm sorry I offended you, and you move on.
Does that make sense? And so if each of us practice that in our day-to-day lives, you wouldn't need to police. You won't need to lock your door. You won't have all this jealousy, envy, and murder. We won't need all of that because we will all be working from the same assignment with the same move. Does that make sense?
And so great will be the day. Even when there's a disagreement, if we come each to the table to say, brother, I'm just here to love you. That will diffuse so many situation. Help me understand why that upset you. I'm so sorry. But you know what we do? We puff our chests out and say, I have a right to. No, you don't have a right. Sometimes we have to humble and look. Is thy heart right with God? You see? And so what happens is, I can know your heart by the way in which you treat me. Does that make sense? That's John 13:34. All men will know your mighty silence by the love you have. One for the other. That makes sense?
That's right.